Oh, I love our book pick segment. It's one of my favorite things that we do on this program, and it's time to do it once again. This morning we have two booksellers from two bookstores joining us with more than two books that we should pay attention to. We welcome Susanna Hermans from Oblong Books in Rhinebeck and Millerton. Hello, Susanna. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
I'm well. Thank you very much. It's so good to see you. And it's also great to see Lily Bartels of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady. Hello, Lily. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm great. It's summer. I'm happy.
Excellent. Yes, it is summer. We're good. I think it's interesting just to note that we just had Liz Moore on the program. Both of you have had Liz Moore on your list today. So that's all a perfect confluence, I think.
Oh, absolutely. We both were talking right before we came on about how much we love this book. Lily, did you want to talk about?
If you're okay with that.
Please, you take the lead on that one.
So Liz Moore is just a wonderful writer. I found this to be just a compulsively readable story. It had has the added points of interest that it's set fairly locally in the Adirondacks, and there are frequent mentions of Albany and Saratoga and Schenectady and even Union College. So the story starts on an August morning in 1975 when a counselor at a summer camp in the Adirondacks discovers an empty bunk. And the girl who should be in that bunk is a 13-year-old named Barbara Van Laar, whose family owns the camp and whose family also employs most of the local residents in one capacity or another. The Van Laars are a prominent and very wealthy family whose property and house adjoins the property that the camp is on. And the camp itself is set in, as you might imagine, a very heavily wooded area. Bizarrely enough, their first child, a young boy named nicknamed Bear, also disappeared before Barbara was born, and he was never found. So, of course, the narrative follows this frantic search for Barbara, and in the process, her counselor Louise, her bunkmate Tracy, her mother Alice, and a young female investigator named Judy all share their stories. And, you know, bit by bit, piece by piece, their lives begin to intersect. And finally, when they all come together, it's in a profound way. There's also an element of a serial killer that's on the loose, which may or may not, you know, impact the outcome of this story. I think Liz Moore said that she based this serial killer on the infamous Robert Garrow, who back in the 70s was a serial killer in the Adirondacks. All of these characters are brilliantly developed. There are many layers to the plot. And the final reveal, as I think Susanna will agree with this, that you absolutely cannot anticipate it. It is it's a true shocker, and it's thrilling.
Good stuff. It is it's a magnificent novel. I really enjoyed it. It is Liz Moore's The God of the Woods. All right, Susanna.
So the first book I wanted to talk about is I'm Mostly Here to Enjoy Myself, One Woman's Pursuit of Pleasure in Paris by Glynis McNichol. This is a memoir of Glynis had been living in New York during COVID and had been basically isolated in her tiny Manhattan apartment for 16 months. She's 46 years old, no children, single, and she decides in 2021 to spend August in Paris. She rents a flat. She heads to Paris. She's got some girlfriends she's visiting with, and she gets on her phone and starts to find dates. It is just a wonderful atmospheric read. It's perfect for the summer. It's a, you know, in the spirit of Nora Ephron, a woman of a certain age discovering herself and finding pleasure. In all of the ways we would define that word. I'm really excited to share that Glynis will be at our Rhinebeck store tonight at 6. So please come out and meet her and pick up a copy of this book. It also has like one of the most delightful covers. Not that that matters, but I like it.
No, it is. It is a great cover. Absolutely. The name of the book, I'm Mostly Here to Enjoy Myself, by Glynis McNichol. And the event is tonight at Oblong. And we'll give you information on how you can find out more about that at the end of the segment. Lily.
I am going to continue with fiction, and I absolutely loved this book. Yes, it's a great summer read, but it would be a great read anytime, and that is The Wedding People by Allison Esbeck. This actually doesn't come out until the end of the month on July 30th, but I didn't want to miss my chance to talk about it. So the character, a main character, is Phoebe Stone, whose life is falling apart. She's had several rounds of unsuccessful IVF. Her husband has left her, her beloved cat has died, and Phoebe just feels like it is all too much. She cannot go on, and so she is going to end her life. Now, for a long time, she had planned this getaway with her husband to this luxury resort hotel in Newport, Rhode Island. Well, that's obviously not going to happen now, but Phoebe decides she's going to go anyway, and that's where she'll end her life. So she arrives at the hotel. She's dressed to the nines. She has no luggage, and she finds that the entire hotel has been given over to this wedding party that are there for a week to celebrate the wedding of Gary and Lila. So when Phoebe comes into Lila's orbit, it's the unlikely connection between the two of them that evolves that is at the heart of the story. They're thrown together, they spar, they acclimate, and they find themselves confiding each other as sounding boards for their most intimate feelings. And as we get to know them, we also get to know the people who are there for the wedding, each of whom has their own backstory, and each of whom is drawn so perfectly well that at the end of this book, I did not want to leave them behind. But, you know, these two women, Lila and Phoebe, they find this wonderful friendship. And the dialogue in the book is so absolutely perfect. It's so natural. It's so smart. And it's often hilarious. And I think it's a big-hearted, nuanced story about people and what's deep in their hearts. And it also shows us the unexpected chance encounters that can really change our paths in life and deliver us to places that we never would have imagined for ourselves.
Terrific stuff. So the book is
The Wedding People.
The Wedding People by Allison Esbeck. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, excellent. I was looking for pronunciation there. Thank you.
I looked it up.
Good. Thank you. All right, next.
My next book is just a teeny tiny little gem. It is an essay by Octavia Butler called A Few Rules for Predicting the Future. It has been bound as its own little thing, a tiny little hardcover at $15. And this is an essay that Octavia Butler wrote in the year 2000 for Essence magazine. We all probably know her best from her books Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. And in this essay, she sort of gets asked the question, do you really believe that in the future we're going to have the kind of trouble you write about in your books? And, you know, that trouble being a world, a near future with increasing drug addiction and illiteracy, marked by the popularity of prisons and the unpopularity of public schools, the vast and growing gap between the rich and everyone else, and the whole nasty family of problems brought on by global warming. So in this essay, she talks about, okay, so what's the answer? Well, there is no answer. But. So I really suggest you pick up a copy of this book. It is inspiring. It is realistic. It is gorgeous. It has like this iridescent cover. I know it's a little late for graduation season, but if you owe anyone a graduation gift, this is a absolute perfect one. But really anyone who needs a little inspiration in these difficult times, turn to Octavia. She is a visionary.
With all of those issues being discussed in that book, it seems as though it should be longer.
I mean, it's very small. It's very small.
And all of this horrible stuff, here's how we solve it. It's 12 pages. That's great. A Few Rules for Predicting the Future, an essay. Excellent. Beautifully done.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Yeah.
I love books like this. Okay. Next up, Lily.
Some nonfiction, a book called There Is No Ethan, How Three Women Caught America's Biggest Catfish by Anna Akbari. And no, we're not talking about the regular kind of fishing here, but the other kind of catfishing, which is luring someone into a relationship by using a false persona online. Akbari is a sociologist. She's a former professor at NYU. And this book is part memoir and part expose. And in it, she tells the story of how she and two other women were drawn into the orbit of Ethan and how they discovered the truth about this individual. And, you know, these were successful women. They were highly educated. I'm sure they didn't think of themselves as gullible or naive. And yet they were pulled in by this persona who didn't seem to be interested in scamming them out of their money, but in having them develop intense feelings. So we get dropped down right into the beginning of the story with the emails that these three women shared with each other. And from there, it never lets up in terms of how propulsive a read it is. So Anna met Ethan on OkCupid, which is, you know, the dating website, and she developed this relationship with him that was very compelling to her, very intimate. And that alone is, you know, worth the read, just about how you can be drawn in so unquestioningly to a quote-unquote relationship with someone you haven't met. The connection got progressively deeper, and then these two women reached out to Anna and told her about their experiences, which, you know, brought up all these questions. And in her search to find the answers to these questions, as we follow along with her, it is a real psychological thriller. It's just very, very compelling. She tried to meet Ethan, and there was always a reason why he couldn't meet, and the excuses got more and more bizarre. And that just, you know, confirmed her resolve to find out, well, what have I gotten into here? So you really can't rest until you get to the end of the book, find out who Anna was really talking to, what the motives were of that person. And I just couldn't stop until I had found out who this person was, and it is a shocker. It's also a cautionary tale about the dangers of forming online relationships with someone that you can't really know.
The name of the book is There Is No Ethan by Anna Akbari. All right, Susanna.
So the novel that I'm kind of most excited about, beside God of the Woods, which is amazing and everyone should read it. I think it's one of my favorite mysteries of like the last 5 years.
Can
easily.
Confirm.
But the other novel I am most excited about this summer is State of Paradise by Laura Vandenberg, which is on sale today. Laura is one of these writers that does a lot with few words. This is a novel about a woman living in a small town in Florida. It's summer. It's hot. It's post-COVID. Things are getting back to normal. But what is normal in Florida? And this kind of creeping dread of things are happening to her. Things are happening to her family, to the world around her that are like just a little bit off. Strange things are happening. And then, like, even her own body begins to change a little bit. And what does all of that mean? Her sister goes missing and then turns up a few days later. What is going on? I clearly I'm still working on how to talk about this book.
but I'm intrigued.
Well, I can tell you that when I read it, which was a few months ago, my major takeaway was that you could literally open this book to any page and read any paragraph and be totally blown away by what she's doing with this book. It is unputdownable, brilliant craft, incredibly compelling story, and it has made me want to go back and read everything she's ever written.
The name of the book is State of Paradise by Laura Vandenberg.
And I'll mention that Laura, we'll have her at a Rhinebeck store. We're having her at Morton Library in Rhinecliff on July 25th.
Very cool. Excellent. Again, State of Paradise. Lily.
Going back to fiction, I have The Cliffs by J. Courtney Sullivan, who I think has been sort of like hovering at the around the periphery of my consciousness for a while now. She's fairly prolific, and I, for some reason, had never read her before. But this novel really opened my eyes to what a wonderful writer she is. It's about a woman. It's about a house. It's about the histories of both of them. So the main character is Jane, who lives in a coastal town in Maine, where this old Victorian-era house sits up on a secluded bluff with a view of the ocean. It's at least a century old, but it's been long abandoned. And when Jane is a teenager, she discovers this house and finds it irresistibly intriguing. There are still clothes in the closet. There's marbles rolling across the floors. There's dishes in the cupboards, even though no one has lived there for decades. So the house becomes her special place where she can go and she can read and she can get away from her her alcoholic mother. 20 years later, Jane is happily married. She is an archivist at Harvard, and then she makes a mistake that puts both her marriage and her career in jeopardy, and she's forced to return to the town that she grew up in. She goes back to the house. It's almost unrecognizable because this wealthy woman, Genevieve from Boston, has bought it, gutted it, and quote-unquote modernized it. And Genevieve is convinced that it is haunted, because her young son has told her that he talks to a woman at night in his room. And Genevieve is also concerned that this might be happening because of something that she did when work was being done on the property. So she enlists Jane to research the house and the women who lived there. And what Jane uncovers goes far back into the distant past, even before Maine was Maine. There is a story of lovers lost at sea, a story of a forbidden relationship that took place in the house, a devastating loss, and historic artifacts that were stolen and sold. And also, there's a lot about the terrible consequences of colonialism on that part of the country, and of course on most parts of this country. So we see Jane's complex inner life, but it's also a history of the Maine coast that weaves together stories of settlers and Shakers and, of course, the indigenous people who lived on that land. There's a lot happening in this book, but I think it speaks to Sullivan's masterful storytelling, that it never feels like too much and like every piece clicks into place. And it's just a very rich, emotional read from beginning to end. Now I have to go back and read all of her previous books.
I'm listening to the audiobook of The Cliffs right now, good. And it's wonderful. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to listen to it on my way home.
J. Courtney Sullivan, The Cliffs, next.
Next up, I have a mystery, The Main Character by Jacqueline Goldis. So I picked this up because it is a mystery. It's a contemporary mystery that is set on the Orient Express traveling across Italy. A very best-selling mystery writer has an unusual approach to writing her books. She crafts them around real people. She chooses a subject, learns everything about this person, and then fictionalizes their life. So our main character in The Main Character, Rory, she is been given this gift of this travel on the Orient Express. She's going to be interviewed by this author. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great trip. She gets on the train, and she finds that her ex-fiancé, her brother, and her best friend are all also on this train, and each of them is hiding a secret. Mm. It's a fun read.
Sounds it. The name of the book is The... What is it?
The main character.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I didn't find it on the way. I had already checked it off. That was why my problem. The Main Character by Jacqueline Goldis. I am trying to keep score at home. Sometimes I'm not very good at that. All right. Next, Lily.
The Forgotten Names by Mario Escobar. This is historical fiction inspired by the rescue of 108 Jewish children who disappeared from near Lyon, France in 1942. And it's about the remarkable group of people who rescued them and saved them from deportation to a German concentration camp where they would absolutely have been murdered. And these people risked everything, including their lives, to do that. It's also the story of a woman who, 50 years later, gave up her law career to focus on reuniting these children whose names and identities had to be changed when they were rescued. She wants to find them and reunite them with their identities and their and the names that they lost. So the man who was charged with this deportation was the notorious Klaus Barbie, known as the Butcher of Lyon. He was the head of the Gestapo in Lyon, and many years later he was captured and tried. The story is told in the present day by this woman, Valerie Portoret. In 1992, she's a law student who decides to write her thesis on Klaus Barbie. And in her research, she discovers this sort of forgotten story about these children. And she becomes obsessed with finding them and what happened to them and where they are, how they were saved. So this is their story and the story of the members of the resistance who risked their lives to save them. Over the course of 25 years, Valerie tracks them down one by one, and they're not all still alive, but most are, and she hears their stories. She finds out the true story of the people that saved them and how that was done, and in most cases, she reunites these now adults with their original identities and original names. And as you might expect, given the subject, there are parts of this book that are very difficult to read, but I feel like these stories are stories that must be told.
Good stuff. The name of the new book is The Forgotten Names by Mario Escobar. All right.
I got another mystery here.
Okay.
I love a mystery, Joe.
Yep.
Middle of the Night by Riley Sager. Riley Sager has become one of my like kind of go-tos. I don't like always let myself read multiple books by the same author because I probably should be reading more diversely, but I enjoy his books a lot. So this one is about a man who returns to his childhood home 30 years after he had been camping in the backyard with his best friend, and someone in the middle of the night cuts the tent open. The best friend is gone, and no one knows whatever happened to him. So it's 30 years later. He's back, and things start to happen that remind him of that summer night all those years ago. And he decides he needs to finally, once and for all, solve this mystery. Riley Sager's books are like edge into creepiness, a little bit like not quite horror, but adjacent. And if you find dread to be a pleasurable experience, then I would definitely check out his books.
Give me a little dread. Excellent. All right. We are out of time, but anything you want to get in real quick?
I'll just mention that we're having cartoonist Lucy Nisley on Friday night in Rhinebeck at 6 for her new book, Woe, which is about her cat comics. They're some of the funniest things I've ever read.
I've looked through it, too, and I will confirm that is true.
Good stuff. All right. Well, for more information, you can go to their websites, oblongbooks.com, opendoor-bookstore.com. All of our book picks posted online, wamc.org/roundtable. You're both great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.